this is totally not Danzig, and you're listening to the Shred Shack.
Greetings, folks. I'm Dan Mack.
And I'm Chris Mack.
Welcome you to episode 202 of the Shred Shack podcast, your premier source of news and uninformed yet heavily biased opinions pertaining to all things heavy metal, coming to you bi-weekly through practically any streaming service, as well as airing from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, Monday nights on Overkill Radio. Let's get started with Previously On. Do we have Previously On?
We do. We have two items. One of them was we were going to listen to the new Avenged Sevenfold single. Did you get a chance to listen to that?
Did not.
Okay. Well, I did. And my notes go as follows. What the actual fuck is this? It's really weird. It starts off very strangely. There are some cool parts. But there are like ideas for like six different songs in this particular track with absolutely no cohesive direction. We have no idea where we're going, and I have no idea what the point of the song is. So, yeah, it's not looking good. It's not looking good for this album. I'll tell you that.
Okay. So, now we could, I want to say this in a way that's like, okay. Could we give it the benefit of the doubt? Is it in any way similar to how they did A Little Piece of Heaven?
I don't know what that is. What's that?
It's a song from it's a very Tim Burton-y song.
No, not like that. Okay.
So basically, you know, not cool.
No. Like it's just all over the place. And again, M. Shadow's voice does not sound good. It sounds like garbage.
So that wasn't just a fluke for one song.
No, it's not looking good for this album on the whole, to tell you the truth.
Shame.
The next bit of Previously On, we had talked about Dogstar, which is of course Keanu Reeves' band. We had discussed that we had not listened to them. So it seems like immediately after that, it was announced Dogstar is no longer available on Spotify. At least I couldn't find it. I found one song that was credited to Dogstar featuring Keanu Reeves, which was pretty much like your standard 90s fare. You know, nothing like outstanding, nothing that was like garbage. But for some reason, like I said, shortly after our fucking discussion from the podcast, all their stuff was taken down.
I wonder why.
Yeah, it's very, very odd.
I'd like to believe there's a reason, but I don't think I believe that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I first looked them up, they had the album available, at least both their albums or something like that. Whatever they had available for listening. So I'm just very surprised.
All right. Well, I mean, you could probably YouTube something at this point and find
it. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like, do you really want to go that far out of your way? Do you think it's going to be that much of a spectacular record in any way?
Probably not. And if anything, everything will come back once they release this new album that they're working on or whatever it is. So I think maybe once that happens, we'll probably get their back catalog available again.
yeah, probably. So we'll see. But I mean, until then, so it goes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. Is that it for Previously On?
That is it for Previously On.
All right, let's talk about Old Business.
All right, so Old Business. According to the Hollywood Reporter, Megadeth has settled a lawsuit over the cover artwork for the band's latest album, The Sick, the Dying, and the Dead. 3 months ago, I believe we pretty much talked about this, New York-based illustrator and designer Brent Elliott White, who created the artwork for The Sick, the Dying, and the Dead, filed a lawsuit against the band claiming he hadn't received pay or credit for his work. But last Thursday, May 11th, the parties filed a joint notice of settlement informing the court that the parties have reached an agreement in principle for the resolution of this action. They intend to file a stipulation of dismissal within 30 days.
So I wonder what that actually means.
I mean, it probably means that Dave Mustaine or Megadeth Corporate or whatever the fuck they are call themselves, LLC, decide to pay the guy. So, I'm sure that's what that means. Or at least enough, at least to pay him off enough to let make it go away. Second up here in old business, we've been talking about the ongoing feud between Queensryche, estranged drummer Scott Rockenfield, and the band's fellow original members, Michael Wilton and Eddie Jackson. But a jury trial date has been set for the lawsuit now. The trial is set for 9 a.m. on January 16th, 2024 in Snohomish, County Superior Court in the state of Washington.
Okay. I mean, we've been talking about that since forever. So
yeah. But now they're actually not just going to fucking like court, but they're going to trial, which is crazy.
Oh wow. Well, at least it'll bring it into it. Maybe. I doubt Rockenfield will rejoin the band at any given time. So
yeah, for real.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I guess it's clear they've already moved on without him. So yeah, but
that's it for old business.
Yeah, just more legal shit that's always going on. Okay. All right, so let's go on then to new business. And with new business, we talk about new album releases. yeah, I'm still in March. I have things. So, but yeah, I'll let you go first because you've probably got stuff that's more pertinent to the time.
Yeah, for sure. Of course, I have a list. All right, first up, we got The Acacia Strain, Failure Will Follow. This one, they released two albums on the same day. So this is their first one. It's dark, sludgy, kind of doomish. It's three songs, 38 minutes long. So they average about, 10 to 11 minutes each. Thumbs up. The Acacia Strain, Step Into the Light. This is 10 songs, 23 minutes. And it's almost like a grindcore record. It's pretty dope. Thumbs up. Speaking of extreme death metal, you got Cattle Decapitation and their new album Terrorcite. That's a double thumbs up. That was super good. The Dark Side of the Moon, Metamorphosis. This is a super group featuring members of a whole bunch of different bands, but they're covering songs from movies and TV. This particular highlight for me was their cover of Misty Mountains from The Hobbit featuring Tom from Evergrey, and that was really good. So the album was a two thumbs up for me. Gone Mage, their album Astral Corridors. It's a cool mix of death metal and video game sounds. That was a thumbs up. Veil of Maya with their album Mother was a thumbs up. Ascended Dead, Even Fall of the Apocalypse, technical death metal. That is a thumbs up. Devil Driver, Dealing with Demons Volume 2 was a meh. It's okay, nothing to get too excited about. New album from The Ocean, Holocene, is a two thumbs up, of course, because I love them. Within Temptation released a new kind of single / EP with five of their latest singles on it, and then the same songs but instrumental versions on it. And that's a thumbs up. It's pretty much Within Temptation. They're not straying too much from their formula. Sleep Token, Take Me Back to Eden is a fucking triple thumbs up for me. That album is amazing. They really take their form of genre bending to extremes on this one. It's a lot of stuff going on, and it's all very good. Big fan. Ghost released their Pantomime Covers EP, and that was a thumbs up. That was pretty good. Arjen Lucassen's Supersonic Revolution and his album Golden Age of Music. That was a thumbs up. Have you listened to that yet?
I'm actually I'll talk about it later. I haven't listened to it yet, but I do have it.
All right. The next ones I didn't really write down too much. They were kind of in listening passive form at work this week, trying to blow through the week because I took today off. Today is a Friday, and I took Friday off because it's Memorial Day weekend, so I made a 4-day weekend for myself. Anyway, we got Botanist, their album 8, Selenotrope. That was a thumbs up. Frozen Soul, Glacial Domination, thumbs up. Ring of Gears, Metamorphosis, thumbs up. Thol Khandra, Hail the Abyss, thumbs up. And this band gets a thumbs up just for the band name alone. Blindfolded and Led to the Woods with their album Rejecting Obliteration. Thumbs up.
All right. My turn?
Yes, sir. That was my list.
Okay. So I'm still in March. I only listened to a couple of things this week just because been a little busy. So these are thumbs up. Everything's thumbs up. So this is Witch Ripper, The Flight After the Fall, The Banishment, Machine and Bone, Demons Down, I Stand, For the Fallen Dreams, for self-titled, Gorod, The Orb, and Judiciary, Flesh and Blood. Two thumbs up for Tragedy, I Am Women. So Tragedy, I'm just mentioning this now because it's worthwhile. Tragedy was a small rabbit hole because they cover a lot of, like, they kind of do a Northern Kings, as in they kind of cover pop songs and make it their own and make it metal-ish. And so when I listened to it, I was like, okay. Some of this sounds very familiar, and then I realized it's literally all covers. And so I went back to their catalog, and I was like, oh, what else do they do? And some of the stuff they do is fucking great.
Dude, I've been listening to Tragedy for a while. I saw them on a boat once with Electric Six in fucking the Hudson Harbor. And when I was fucking listening to them in the beginning, they were a purely heavy metal cover band doing nothing but Bee Gees songs. So if they expanded their repertoire from there, that's fucking great.
Oh yeah, yeah, they do a lot of things. They're all over the place, and it's all on Spotify. It's great stuff. So
nice.
Yeah, very, very fun. So I went through their catalog, and I went through, like, you know, what tracks do I know, what tracks do I care about. So that's, you know, awesome. Like when a band covers "I Was Made for Loving You," it's like, I gotta hear it.
Good point. Very good point. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, what else have you been listening to outside of that?
Really, it's just the same. You know, the podcast Doom Pod, which is actually Doom Pod is rebranding after their 150th episode. They're going to be called Escape Hatch after that episode, which is coming up very soon. Mm-hmm. 70 Millimeter, which recently just covered Return of the Jedi for its 40th anniversary, which was this past week, which is pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. And Austin Danger Pod, which just covered Bo is Afraid, which is a movie that I think I may have mentioned on the last podcast. I can't remember if I
did. You did.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was good to hear a decent fucking episode about that. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I listened to, God, what have I listened to? The 10 album, Something Wicked This Way Comes. Been listening to the Opacities EP by Sixth. My little playlist of one-off songs. What did I add recently? There was a song we heard when we were at Mom and Dad's, because we had put on like a Blackmore Night channel, and a song by D'Artagnan came up with that features Candace Knight called "We're Gonna Be Drinking," and so I added that to the list because it's very catchy and very fun. So that's the only new song on there. But other than that, Yeah, not too much music lately. I do, like I said, I have the new Aryan Lacoste album and I have the new Metal Church album, so I got to listen to those.
Yes.
It's just being able to appropriate the time, which is definitely the time is now. I'm John Cena. So what's it called? My schedule has worked out in such a way because I left my secondary employer, you know, for greener pastures, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still waiting for some of those clients to come follow me privately. But in the meantime, I'm only working 20 to 25 hours at this time. So I have a lot of available time to me, and I am trying to be more, I'm trying to, what's the word I keep using? Because I keep saying it to every client. So my job is essentially to tell clients what to do and not do it myself. So that's essentially how I operate. But you know, just being more intentional with my time, you know, trying to make sure that, like, instead of just saying like, okay, I don't have clients from this time to this time, I say like, okay, because I have this time, I'm going to do this and whatever else may follow. So, mm-hmm. You know, trying to do that so I can get things done. So, and I actually forgot my point. So yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, listen to music. So I'm trying to make the time to listen to these things. And actually, I'm trying to go back and listen to things that I haven't listened to in a while, just because it's like, okay, I've been listening to the same stuff for a while now. I need to listen to something that I haven't heard in forever. So there was a listen to the Electric Warlock Rob Zombie album is. I'm not going to figure out the fucking title. And then I listened to Animosity by Seven Dust just because I wanted to. So, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, just going back to those, just going back to some of those favorites. So,
yeah, for yeah. Sure.
Yeah. So that's where I went. But yeah, that's about it for what else I've been listening to. You want to go on to general news?
Yeah, we can move it on.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we're going to start off on a very significant down point.
Yeah, for sure. We got four obituaries this week. Number one, Tina Turner, the pioneering rock singer, passed away after a long illness. She was 83 years old. Turner had battled several health issues in recent years, including being diagnosed with intestinal cancer in 2016 and having a kidney transplant in 2017.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Diagnosed with cancer 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's that's a hell of a fight, and the kidney transplant. I just don't know necessarily where the problem comes in for that, but yeah, the kidney transplants are one of those things that actually kind of scares me.
I mean, surgeries in general scare me because I haven't had one yet.
Yeah,
like, you know, knock on wood type of thing. Yeah. So I'm very fortunate in that sense. So like, yeah. the longer I go without having a surgery, the more afraid I get. Yeah. So
yeah, it's like it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen someday.
Not just is it gonna happen, but I'm gonna be too old and it's gonna be like, oh my god, you know, like it's gonna be a big fucking deal.
Yeah. It's like that. It's like that meme from Captain America: Winter Soldier, where Captain America's catching up on your left.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's don't like, say it's it. Like that. Don't you say it.
Yeah. All right.
All right. On. Next one up, we got original St. Vitus bassist Mark Adams passed away after a long battle with Parkinson's disease. He was 64 years old.
No, I'm only so familiar with St. Vitus or Vitus. I don't know sure if that's how to pronounce it.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, actually. But I'm not very familiar with them either. But I think this is like maybe the second person who's recently passed away from the band or not. I might be wrong about that.
I think somebody who was from the original band also passed. I can't remember, unfortunately. It was sometime in the past like 3 months, though.
Yeah. Former Metal Church drummer Kirk Arrington passed away after an unspecified illness. He was 61 years old. He left Metal Church in 2006 due to health complications from years of struggling with diabetes. He was initially replaced by Jeff Platt, or Plate, who had previously played with Sabotage and Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and was later set later by Stett Howland, who had played with.
Now this one I had not heard about.
Yeah, that was, I think, fairly this week, actually, that happened.
Yeah, I've been oblivious this week.
Yeah, and last but not least, Alistair Mackie, or Algie Ward, he was the founder and frontman of British metal legends Tank, passed away at the age of 63. Excuse me. He reportedly passed away on May 17th at a hospital in Tunbridge Wells, Kent, United Kingdom, after suffering from serious health issues for quite some time.
That's no bueno.
Yeah, our average here for the last three guys is like 62 years old. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there's Tina Turner outliving them all.
Fucking A. 83. Yeah. Goddamn. Good for you. Mm. Well done, Miss Turner.
Yeah.
But fortunately enough, that's enough. And for obituaries, that's enough.
Yes, thank God. So, onto better news.
Yeah, general news here. We have Analogger. It's a rare studio gear and one of a kind music memorabilia marketplace that launched last year. It's auctioning off six Charvel Eddie Van Halen Art Series electric guitars, which have all been stage played and signed by Eddie Van Halen. Also included in the auction is a Chip Ellis built Fender Custom Shop Frankenstein copy, dubbed Frankie 2. All seven guitars are being auctioned as one lot with a minimum reserve price of $525,000. According to Analogger, the seven guitar collection is estimated to sell for between $750,000 and $1 million.
Damn.
I mean, but considering that the one guitar from the Hot for Teacher video got like $4 million, these seem to be kind of like throwaways. You know what I mean? Seven guitars for $1 million, one guitar for four. Come on.
I guess so. I mean, the dude probably had a billion guitars, so it's like eventually we're going to run out of fucking money for this.
Yeah, I'm thinking that these are probably like latter day Chevelle guitars, probably like later in his career and stuff. So.
Yeah, it's like on the back of it, it's just carved into Gary Cherone's name is just carved into it.
That'll teach him. That'll teach him.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, John Corabi, former lead singer of Motley Crue, The Scream, and Union, has officially rejoined the rock and roll collective known as the Dead Daisies. The band's current lineup is rounded out by founder guitarist Dave Lowey, guitarist Doug Aldrich, and drummer Brian Tichy, along with former Whitesnake bassist Michael Devin, playing with the Dead Daisies for the first time.
Which means that Glenn Hughes is no longer in the band.
Seemingly so.
Hear about that. I knew that John Corabi had rejoined, but I thought that it was in addition to. But
it doesn't seem like it. No.
No. Wow.
Iron Maiden's free-to-play mobile game has teamed up with legendary thrash metal band Anthrax to bring you an epic new event: Among the Living. Legacy of the Beast has already joined forces with heavy hitters like Motorhead, Disturbed, and Five Finger Death Punch, but this latest collaboration is sure to blow your mind.
Oh.
The iconic Knot Man is making his way into the free-to-play game, armed and dangerous with his trusty makeshift weapon. Inspired by Anthrax's graphic novel of the same name, the Among the Living Dungeon event is a thrilling adventure that will take fans and players through the recently destroyed streets of New York City in this new week-long event. Knot Man is out for revenge, and he's not alone. Eddie, the iconic mascot of Iron Maiden, is also on the scene, ready to clean up the post-apocalyptic mess.
I wonder how they work all this stuff in.
You know? Right? It's very interesting.
Yeah. Like, it's just, there's got to be someone behind the scenes. Like, okay. So here we go. So the Knot guy, the cartoon. Yes. The Knot guy, like we're going to put him into this game. And it's like, what does the Knot guy do? I don't know. He says not. You know, it's like, how do you like elaborate on that? How do you create some sort of story behind that?
Your guess is as good as mine, but they managed to do it. You know, and I'm wondering, like, how does it work? Like, if it's only for like a week, like, does it just go away after that?
I have no idea, honestly. I wonder.
Very interesting thing. Very interesting. Nita Strauss has recruited a vocalist named Casey Carlson to join her on stage during the guitarist's upcoming Summer Storm tour. Carlson has a 500,000 followers on TikTok, where she posts vocal covers of such acts as Slipknot, Motionless in White, Bring Me the Horizon, and Ice Nine Kills.
Oh, snap.
Yep, TikTok fame, bringing it to the stage now.
Oh, yeah, that's how it's going to be. That's how, you know, people did that on YouTube first, and now it's TikTok.
Yep, pretty much. Or tribute bands like, you know, Ripper.
Yeah, that's a little before a lot more widespread capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
ESP Guitars has announced that acclaimed guitarist Mick Thompson of iconic American metal band Slipknot has joined the ESP artist roster. Company also confirmed that a new ESP LTD signature series guitar is in development for Thompson.
That is cool. I've seen his guitars and they seem pretty straightforward. I think it's just maybe he has some special coloring to it, but I've never seen him with a really outlandish guitar.
It's probably going to be more about the specifications.
Yeah, I'm likely to be so, because yeah, his guitars seem pretty standard shape and design when I've seen them.
It's interesting though, because I thought he was a BC Rich player, which he may have been back in the day. I did not realize he made the switch to ESP, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I like ESP more.
Foo Fighters have officially recruited Josh Freese as their new drummer. Mm-hmm. Freese is a veteran session drummer who has played with Guns N' Roses, A Perfect Circle, Puddle of Mud, Nine Inch Nails, Weezer, Paramore, The Replacements, Sting, and The Vandals, among many others. He has also played more than 300 recordings ranging in genres from pop to rock to country.
Hired gun.
We'll see if he sticks around. We'll see if he sticks around.
Yeah. We'll see. We shall see.
That is it. That is it for general news.
All right.
There's nothing in the So Let It Be Written category this week. Here we go. He's the one they call Dr. Feel Not So Good. All right. Skid Row canceled the remaining dates on its Australian tour. The decision to scrap the rest of the shows comes after just 2 days after the band canceled its concert in Brisbane, Australia, because singer Eric Gronwall fell ill with the flu. And now just recently, Skid Row canceled its whole Japanese tour. The decision to scrap the shows come just a few days after, just 2 days after the band canceled the remaining dates on its Australian tour, because singer Eric Gronwall fell ill with the flu. So he's not doing too good.
Nope. And the flu sucks.
For real. Five Finger Death Punch canceled more shows in order to allow singer Ivan Moody to fully recover from his recent hernia surgery. And because of that, Epica replaced Five Finger Death Punch as the support act for Metallica on Wednesday, May 17th at Stade de France in Paris. And on Sunday, May 28th, that's actually going to be this Sunday coming up, at Volkspark Stadium in Hamburg, Germany.
That's a good show.
Yeah. So I think in France, it was Ice Nine Kills, Epica, and Metallica.
Yeah, so I'd see that show.
Yeah, that's a good show right there. So hopefully we'll be able to move on from Dr. Feel Not So Good to I'm getting better. I think I'll go for a walk. Hopefully we'll hear from them soon.
Yeah.
No one's breaking a law at the moment. The good that men and women do, pretty much nothing. this is kind of ties in with the good that Men and Women Do, but it's under Metallica news because it involves Metallica. Mm-hmm. So according to Vail Daily, James Hetfield visited a Ukrainian soldier who was brought to the Metallica frontman's hometown of Vail, Colorado for medical treatment through the assistance of locally funded nonprofit Limbs for Liberty. While Roman Denisyuk was recovering at Vail Health Hospital last week, Kelly Rolrig, who is the co-founder of Limbs for Liberty, asked Hetfield to pay a visit to the soldier. Hetfield agreed, and after meeting both soldiers, there's two actually, Hetfield left a sticky note on the founder's car saying, "You made my day." So good on Hetfield for visiting some wounded soldiers in the hospital.
Good. Good.
All right. Feuding. I mean, seriously, we had already covered the Scott Rockenfield thing. So we'll see what's going on there. Oh, and the Megadeth thing and all in old business. Yeah. Nothing new's popping up though. Nothing new.
Boring.
I know. Come on. Nothing in alcoholic or hardwired or merchandising as of late.
All right. So then let's go on to our first commercial break.
Greetings, metalheads. Dan Mack here, and if you're a fan of putting a little heat on your meals, spice up your life with one of the many hot sauce flavors available from our sponsors at Hella Hot Hot Sauce. All natural, no preservative, and California-made, Hella Hot Hot Sauce provides small-batch artisan hot sauces made from fruit and pepper blends that emphasize aroma, taste, and of course, heat. With several flavors available, some seasonal, others year-round, and collaborations with members of Ghoul, Exhumed, Guar, and Hatebreed, there are plenty of options to suit your palate. Head over to hellahothotsauce.com and buy up a couple bottles now.
All right, so let's go on to recording and release news.
It's very short this week. Only a handful of things here going on. So recording news, on August 11th, Cataclysm's 15th full-length studio album, Goliath, will be unleashed onto the masses via Nuclear Blast Records.
Unleashed to the masses.
Mm-hmm. Butcher Baby's double album, Eye for an Eye and Till the World Blind, are both due on July 7th. The double album celebrates the 10th anniversary of Butcher Baby's critically acclaimed debut, Goliath, ironically enough, released on July 9th, 2013 via Century Media Records. That's funny.
I like the Butcher Babies. That's a band I want to see live at some point.
Yeah, I like them too. I enjoy them.
Yeah.
Filter frontman Richard Patrick has revealed to Soundsphere magazine that the band's long-awaited new album, The Algorithm, will arrive in August.
Filter.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, to celebrate the 30th anniversary of their fourth album, Icon, British gothic metal pioneers Paradise Lost are re-recording the LP for a special new release. There will also be an extra special vinyl version of the album.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Paradise Lost is cool, so.
Yeah, they're good. But that's it for recording news, straight up.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's pretty ridiculous. I guess we're kind of in a lull. Everyone's getting ready for live shows for the summer and stuff like that. So no one seems to be recording right now.
It's either that or like everything that's coming up in the next couple months has already been announced, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, no recorded live shit, no rewind, replay, rebound, reissued. Let's move on to a little extra. We're getting a little non-metal in a second. So
yeah. Well, we're gonna do crowdfunding tracker here. It's gonna be a little metal. It has nothing to do with music itself, but Charles Holt, who is the brother of Gary Holt of Exodus, was on a solo vacation in Rome when he suffered a broken femur after being struck by a taxi from behind. A short time later, Gary launched a GoFundMe campaign in order to raise funds to help the family with the financial strain of getting Charles back home.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a GoFundMe page. Oh, come on. Oh, wait, hold on. All right, there we go. All right, their goal is $60,000, and they have already raised $63,719. So they have already exceeded their goal by $3,000. So hopefully Charles can get back home without any problems whatsoever.
Muy excellent.
Yeah. So good news all around on that front. Mm. Well, I mean, bad news followed by good news.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we can go straight to shit I want. And Dan, honestly, there's nothing I want at the moment. So please feel free to to let me in on what you want.
God, what the living hell do I want? I want to have more expendable money. Why? Because this whole Aryan collection thing just sucks me in completely. I was saying before that I got the Supersonic Revolution album.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna let you take a guess at how many copies of this album I bought.
3.
Nope.
Okay. 4.
Nope.
1.
6.
What?
4 different vinyl versions, the earbook, and the CD version.
Dear God, dude, what?
Yeah. Because I'm starting to collect a lot of the vinyl, and in the past, if you don't jump on it when it first comes out, some of it goes up to like $100, and I'm like, I don't want to spend that. Take my money. So yeah, so I have to be very cautious on how I approach this, because obviously I'm not made of money and I can't just do this, but I have to be very tactical. You know why? Because I need to be the best. I want the Pokemon theme song to play when I do that. I'm gonna catch them all.
Yes, for sure.
Ariel. But no, in all seriousness, Kat, I would like you to stop. Shit I want is you stop rubbing against the microphone. You know, I can't honestly think of anything significant I want. Now that I've left my secondary job and whatnot, I'm pretty much on point or trying to be on point. So
nice.
Yeah. I want to get back to getting caught up with our videos. So that's what I want. So
yeah. Things are kind of crazy. So schedule wise and shit. So
yeah. So hopefully one, I'm hoping to record when you get back from your trip, which just takes 5 minutes, and the other one maybe over a weekend.
Okay, we'll figure it out, maybe.
Yeah. So hopefully that's about it. It's been pretty wild in our camp overall for everybody. So.
Yeah. I know. Pat's going through a little upheaval right now and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. So it's a lot. But hopefully we all just make it through that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So let's talk about rabbit holes. You got a rabbit hole?
I do not. It's been a very straightforward 2 weeks. I pretty much have everything that I want to be into, I'm into. So I haven't dived into anything outside of that. So no, I don't have a rabbit hole for this week.
Okay. To be honest, neither do I.
Aside from the tragedy one, of course.
Aside from the tragedy one, which again was kind of a small thing, it only lasted about 2 hours, and then I'm out of it. But yeah, I just again, it's been work or streaming or listening to music, and that's been my life. So
yeah.
All right. We're boring this week.
It's going to be a short episode. We apologize for the slow news week on both the music front and our life front.
Well, yeah, we can't control the music front, of course, and life fucking happens. Get over it.
Life finds a way, as Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park says.
And look, I'm just going to say right now, a little light reading and for your viewing pleasure, I've got nothing. So that's right. To you, dude.
That I do have something for. So a little light reading. I haven't read much of the Chapter House Dune book, but it was a relatively slow week at work last week while I was waiting for direction. And I was able to not only fucking read The Return of the King, like I fucking finished The Lord of the Rings last week. Blew through the last part of it. Fucking, I was so proud of myself for actually just focusing on that. And it was great. As you can imagine, that The Lord of the Rings is good. So I was happy to do that finally. So now I can focus on finishing up Chapter House Dune. And I think I want to try to focus on just this one book so I can be like, all right, I am all even now. I'm going to start something new. And more than likely, my something new is going to be, I'm still going to do like two books at a time, one physical, one Kindle. Kindle, I'm probably just going to continue on with Tolkien stuff. I'm going to start reading the Silmarillion. After Chapter House Dune, I might consider either reading one of the biographies I have or picking up another series, and that series being The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which yeah. I've only read the first one. And I read it like 20 years ago. I need to blow through the whole series just to be like, all right, I did it.
I can understand that. I have to do the same thing, considering the fact that I bought the five books in a one book when Ooh. I was 17.
Nice. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was literally 20 years ago.
Yes, it was. Holy shit. Nice. That sounds good. I had just gotten the complete collection, you know, individual mm-hmm. books, but as a box set from Pete for my birthday last year, so I really need to get on that.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah, so that's the reading. Mm-hmm. As far as for my viewing pleasure, I got a couple actually. So of course, right after finishing The Lord of the Rings, and I had a free weekend, not necessarily to myself because I had one child, but I had a free weekend last weekend where I had a lot of stuff to do, like chore wise, but I needed something in the background that can keep me occupied as well. So I put on The Lord of the Rings trilogy and I watched mm-hmm. pretty much everything up through the first disc of Return of the King last weekend. So that was a good day. That was a good time for sure. We're continuing on with the TV series Silo. That's on Apple TV Plus, featuring Rebecca Ferguson from Dune series. And also, by the way, Tim Robbins, our guy, Tim Robbins from, you know, like High Fidelity, Shawshank Redemption, of course, and stuff of that nature. Mm-hmm. Side note, I did watch Shawshank Redemption with William this weekend. It's, of course, because it's a Stephen King story. He was interested in watching it, and we sat down and we watched that together, which was nice. Cool. Watched Arrival recently. This is the first watch of Arrival for me. I don't know. Have you ever seen that one?
No.
Arrival is so good. It's such a understated piece of science fiction, and it's like it has to do with time and the way we perceive time and communication. It is incredible. It is such a good movie. Directed by Denis Villeneuve, who does the new Dune movie. He did Blade Runner 2049, which I need to rewatch again. Features, of course, Amy Adams in the lead, Jeremy Renner as her assistant, Forest Whitaker is in it. Just all around good fucking flick. I was very happy to finally watch that after hearing about it for so long. Also based on a short story, so that might be another book purchase eventually. Last but not least here that we're going to talk about is a recommendation that we got from our buddy Pete. It's a movie called The Platform. So the reason this came up is we were talking about some of the things that we were watching, and we have talked about Silo, which I think I'm pretty sure on one of the previous podcasts I had mentioned, it's kind of like a dystopian future with a totalitarian government. No one knows why they're in the silo. No one knows what's wrong with the outside world. And we start talking about movies and situations are very similar to that, especially like exploring the ideas of class, especially from like in the silo, you're from the top to the bottom. You know, up top is a little bit considered more higher class, of course, on the bottom. And we were also talking about Snowpiercer with a very similar situation where like people towards the front in the front cars were more in the higher class, and of course the rear of the train were lower class. But what we talked about here, what Pete suggested from there, is a movie called The Platform. Now, The Platform is a multiple level prison where there's two people per cell. And every day, a food tray comes from the top and goes down to the bottom. You only have 2 minutes to eat what you can on that food tray, and then it goes down to the next level. So by the time you get down to like level like 40 or 50, there is virtually no food because the people at the top get their fill and take and you know, get all their fill and are gluttons about it, and it just moves down. Now you're only on your particular level for a month, and it's random. So some months you're going to be a little bit higher up, so you're going to get more food. Some months you're going to be a lot lower. You might get little food to no food at all. And the idea of, I think the premise of it is kind of telling, is talking about how people at the top are always taking more than they need and not leaving enough for the people at the bottom. Mm. That sort of thing. And it's a gory, scary kind of movie. It was made in Spain. The Netflix version is dubbed. So you get a dubbing over with English, and if you watch it with subtitles, it's very confusing because the subtitles and the dubbing don't always line up. But it's a fascinating movie. It was really, really good. I loved it. I thought it was great. I'm very grateful that Pete suggested it to us because it was really good to watch. So if you guys have like an hour and a half, go ahead and watch that.
All right, right on.
But other than that, I watched a chess tournament this week. That was on while I was at work. That was what was keeping me busy at work while I was doing my job. So chess tournament. That's about it.
Oh, well, I'm just something more exciting than work is watching chess.
You know what's really funny is like you would think that the watching, like, because it's online chess, so it's these. The two people who are competing are in different parts of the world, and they're competing online. So you're really just looking at a virtual board, so to speak. But what's more exciting is the commentators. The commentators are all live. They're in Oslo, Norway. And they have a really good cast of characters now who do the commentary. And they make it really exciting. Even when they start talking fast and they you can't really keep up with what's going on, their enthusiasm is really good, and they have a very diverse cast. So they have the main announcer. She's Indian. She has a great voice. Her accent's adorable. I love her. One of the main commentators who actually like is also a grandmaster. He's an Englishman, but he's an Asian Englishman. We have a gentleman from America who's African American, and then we have a typical white guy on there, and the four of them together make for a really good, interesting conversations and fun TV, watching a game that essentially can be very, very boring, obviously. Mm-hmm. But there's also the way they also do the games is very good. Instead of like a classical game, which is like, you know, you have a 2-hour time control, et cetera. These are 15 minute games, you know? So each player has 15 minutes. They only gain 3 seconds after each move, and it gets down to like the wire and people are making bad moves. And it's really interesting if you like to follow, if you like to follow chess. So, yeah.
Isn't that called like Blitz Chess?
No. In the 15-minute format, they call it Rapid. I think Blitz Chess is significantly shorter time control.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Rapid is 15 minutes. I think Blitz gets down to like maybe 3 minutes each person or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, out of control.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. More I know.
Yeah. Actually, there's rapid blitz and bullet chess. I've heard of bullet chess. I think that might be like each player gets like a minute or some shit like that. And the going joke is that like people on like chess.com or something like that like end up playing bullet games until like 3 o'clock in the morning, and they're just fucking just destroyed. Like one more bullet game, and it's like 20 hours later, you're fucking, you know, black eyes, fucking red eyes, fucking like,
oh yeah,
yeah,
oh yeah,
just like any other gaming culture whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely. Just those are some dreadful words. Just one more.
Mm-hmm.
Those are three terrible words to say to yourself because your response hours later is, you dumb bitch.
I mean it's the same thing. It's the same culture in reading. Just one more chapter tonight. Fucking a book and a half later.
Yeah. or just buying books. It's like, okay, dude, just one more. Bro. I'll read them soon.
Oh, dude. Pete gave me another Stephen King book this past week. I'm like, oh, dude, please, thank you. But God damn it, you're just adding to the pile. But the thing is, like I said, though, I was able to burn, like just fucking plow through The Return of the King, which is great. you know? So I'm hoping that, like, I can pick up that momentum again, like, next week when I don't have, like, a chess tournament to watch or something like that, mm-hmm. where I can focus the time that I'm not necessarily having to do work on reading, because that was so great, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The time keeps on slipping.
So what about you? What are you watching? Are you watching Night of Champions this weekend when it comes out?
Of course I am.
Badass.
Yeah. So I work tomorrow morning, and I should be able to get off an hour before Night of Champions. So
well, that's right, because it's in Saudi Arabia, right? So it's early.
And it's at noon, so.
Wow. All right.
Yep. So I will be watching that with Lindsay. Looking forward to it. Seems pretty exciting. So, I already know that Seth Rollins is going to win. So that's going to be cool.
You know that, huh?
I can almost guarantee it.
Ooh.
And if I'm wrong, then. I mean, so it goes, but that's how it goes. But I very strong feeling Seth Rollins is going to win it.
I have a feeling too.
I wouldn't mind if either of them won, but because like it's been a while since AJ has been champion, and you know both wrestlers are great, so
yeah,
either one would be great, just because it's like, okay, finally another fucking champion.
Yeah, and Roman's been it's been way too fucking long with Roman.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I'm watching that, and as far as anything else I've been watching, not much, really. I just rewatched, like, the first two episodes of the Harley Quinn cartoon, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Just not much occupying me as far as video goes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All right, so let's get back onto the metal and let's start talking about concert news.
All right, let's hit it up. So we'll hit up some festivals first. Guns N' Roses is among the headliners of this year's Music Midtown Festival, set to take place September 15th through 17th at Piedmont Park in Atlanta, Georgia. Also scheduled to appear at a three-day event are pop singer Pink, singer-songwriter Billie Eilish, and Atlanta hip-hop artist Lil Baby, among others.
That is an interesting mix of artists.
For sure. Yeah. Riot Fest has announced the lineup for its 2023 edition, featuring headliners Foo Fighters, The Cure, The Postal Service, Death Cab for Cutie, and Queens of the Stone Age.
Cool.
This stellar array of top billed talent will be rounded out by Turnstile, The Mars Volta, Mr. Bungle, Tegan and Sarah, 100 Gecs. GECS, yeah. I guess. The Gaslight Anthem, Death Grips, AFI, and dozens of others.
Very nice. That sounds like a pretty decent mix of things.
Yeah, you're definitely gonna get an eclectic mix of artists on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I can go for about half of those.
Mm-hmm. So that's it for festival news. So touring, King's X has announced a series of live dates for this spring and summer coming nowhere near here.
Well, balls. Check your local listings.
Yeah. Following an extensive co-headline tour with Elvady in Europe last year, Finnish metal icons Amorphis are ready to hit the road again, visiting some cities and countries they didn't get to perform at the end of 2022. The band announced its Halo European 2023 tour alongside Icelandic metal institution Solstafir. Mm-hmm. As special guest and Finnish modern metalers Lost Society as opener.
That is cool. If Amorphis ever came back around, they may be a band I'd go see again.
For sure. I mean, was I there when we saw them together, right?
Yeah. I think it was you, me, and Pete.
Yeah, Fitzgerald's, right?
Yeah, it was Fitzgerald's.
Yeah. Very good. I remember that being great.
Yeah, it was a great show.
Iceland Kills has announced its Fear the Premiere tour. The band will play a select run of headline shows kicking off on August 8th and will showcase a spectacular lineup of supporting acts, including August Burns Red and Veil of Maya for shows between August 8th and August 11th. Set It Off and The Plot in You for shows between August 15th and September 1st. And opener Mike's Dead across all dates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is going to be weaving in and out of their dates with Metallica.
Yeah. I don't know any of these bands.
Yeah. Well, I know
of August Burns Red and Veil of Mourning, right. But like I don't care about them.
Yeah. So. Yeah. In support of his new album, Corey Taylor has announced his 2023 tour featuring special guests Wargasm, Oxymorons, and Luna Aura on select dates. Produced by Live Nation, the 28-city tour kicks off on August 25th at Fillmore Auditorium in Denver, making stops across the United States in Detroit, Orlando, Dallas, and more before a final headline show in Los Angeles at the Wiltern on October 5th.
I suppose that's cool. I just wonder... Like, is he good solo? Like,
I mean, I don't like his solo stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, that would not be a show I'd be 100% into to seeing, you know. Steel Panther have announced the next U.S. leg of their On the Prowl tour. The 22-city trek will kick off on July 13th in Huntington, New York, and wrap up on August 19th in Las Vegas, Nevada. The tour will make stops in Richmond, Virginia, Charleston, South Carolina, New Orleans, Louisiana, and Ventura, California, just to name a few.
I suppose the Huntington, New York one is going to be at the Paramount.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, Steel Panther is a band that I'd probably see live, but again, man. I don't get along with their music.
Yeah, I wouldn't bother. If I don't get along with the music, I wouldn't bother seeing, in all honesty.
They might be an entertaining live act, but probably I'd rather view video to make sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. The Devil Wears Prada and Fit for a King have announced the Fall 2023 Metalcore Dropouts Tour. Counterparts and Landmarks will serve as support on the run, which kicks off on September 15th in Anaheim and runs through October 19th in Las Vegas. There is a San Antonio date, October 15th at the Vibes Event Center.
Cool. Not a fan, but cool.
Here's a show. Here's a show.
We're going to talk about this.
We're going to talk about this. All right. Danzig has announced a string of 35th anniversary tour dates where Glenn Danzig and his bandmates will perform the classic Danzig debut album in its entirety. Joining Danzig for this historic show will be special guest Behemoth, Twin Temple, and Midnight. San Antonio Day, September 2nd, Boeing Center Art Tech Port. Boeing Center Tech Port.
I got a lot of things to say.
Go for it.
And this is gonna harken back to Shit I Want, because I actually did not think to this. So I've passed up on seeing Danzig about 4 or 5 times in my life.
Really?
Yes. He has come to Austin and or Houston a couple of times, and I have passed up on it every time. Most recently was Austin a few months ago.
Why is that? Well, not the recent one. I know the recent one is more along the lines of what was going on with your probation. But in the past, what were your reasons?
Laziness.
Ah, okay.
You know, the normal, like, yeah, I want to go. And then the day of, you're like, ah, fuck it. So,
yes.
Yeah, so this time I want to go. The Shit I Want thing that I forgot to mention is that I want everything to stop happening in September.
For sure, for you, absolutely.
Like, it's like, oh my god, I don't even know when I'm going to work in September.
That'd be like a blackout month right there. Like, I don't know what the fuck happened.
Seriously, I already have approved off for my vacation to the Netherlands, so I'm getting paid for that at least.
Nice.
But you know, otherwise it's like fuck, everything cool is coming right around the same time. And part of the problem with this particular show is that September 2nd would be fantastic day for me to see it, except that I'm going to a Comic-Con in Austin that day.
Ugh.
And we're going to the Comic-Con with it's not something I can just kind of turn around on, because we're going there a lot for Lindsay, because Vincent D'Onofrio is going to be there.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Okay. So otherwise the Comic-Con looks fucking great. Otherwise, I mean, but he's playing in Houston on Sunday, the day after. Mm-hmm. So here is what my life would be like if I did get tickets and stayed in Houston that night. So August 30th. It's I think that is the Wednesday night. August 30th is Baby Metal with Death Clock playing in Houston.
Holy shit.
So I'm going to Houston, seeing that show, staying the night in Houston, coming home the next day. So I'll be driving for part of Thursday. Friday, right. I'm going to be working in the morning. And then once we finish work, we're going to be driving out of San Antonio to go to Austin and spend Friday and Saturday night in Austin for GalaxyCon.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to include Danzig in that, I would drive home from Austin on Sunday, relax a little bit, and then drive right back out to Houston, see that show, and stay the night.
Oh my God. And then Friday, and by then Monday you have off because it's Labor Day, I'm assuming.
I don't take off for holidays, personally. Oh, okay. Like the big holidays I will. Like Thanksgiving and Christmas, you leave me alone.
Yeah.
Like Memorial Day, I have two clients. I'm gonna work.
Oh shit. Okay.
So unfortunately I don't get paid extra or anything like that for it, but it's like if I can see clients and I have no reason to take the day off, then I might as well see somebody.
So, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I'll take a little bit of the cash over just having an entire day off. I can work 2 hours. It's no big deal. So, but
this show is definitely a consideration only because I just realized that it's on Saturday the 2nd, and then on Sunday the 3rd is Ghost in Austin. I don't have tickets for either one of those, but they're both considerations. And it's a weekend I have the boys, and William has been bothering me about concerts. I'm like, all right, William, we're going from Michael Bublé to fucking Behemoth, bro. Here we go.
Just all sorts of getting satanic around here.
I was gonna say, you want to hear some fucking satanic doo-wop? Here's some Twin Temple for you, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm still debating on that. I'm fairly certain I'm going to go because I'm going to bite that bullet. I'm old, but I'm going to do it.
Danzig has been pushing the fact that he's not going to be touring that much after this. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. So
exactly, and that's where a lot of the drive comes from.
Your chances are running out, so you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
I do.
All right. Well, I will consider it for that weekend. Again, we have a busy August coming up, and that technically is the last week of our non-guaranteed time off from work if the Teamsters decide to strike. So we will see how that goes. So moving on, Testament guitarist Alex Skolnick will sit out some of the band's spring-summer 2023 European tour dates in order to tend to a family emergency. He will be replaced on the Trek by former Machine Head and current Violence guitarist Phil Demmel, who's just filling in for fucking everybody right now.
Oh, yeah.
He's the Mike Portnoy of guitarists at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Evanescence, the 20th anniversary of his classic debut album Fallen, on an Australian tour this summer. The 5-date Trek, which will launch in late August, will mark the band's first European tour since their Sublime run with local symphony orchestras in 2018.
That is cool.
Yes, it is. Exodus has canceled his previously announced summer 2023 European tour so that guitarist Gary Holt can tend to his family after his brother was recently hospitalized in Italy, which we had just talked about.
Okay.
Extreme will embark on a European tour this fall. The 12-date trek will kick off on November 27th in Newcastle, UK, and wrapping up on December 16th in Milan, Italy. Special guest Living Color, who will also be supporting Extreme on their US and Australian shows, will appear on the UK leg of the tour, and The Lasting Internationale will provide support across continental Europe.
Oh, Extreme and Living Color would be a show, man.
That would be a fun show, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see here. Fear Factory will embark on a European tour this fall. The 44-date trek will mark the band's first European show since 2016. Joining them on this run are Butcher Babies from the US and Igni from Ukraine. I think that's how you pronounce that.
Igni or Ignia, I don't know.
Yeah, Ignia could be better. Last but not least here, According to Plymouth Live, Kiss has canceled its June 3rd concert at the Home Park Stadium in Plymouth, England. Promoter RoboMagic announced it was scrapping what was supposed to be the opening night of the European leg of Kiss's End of the Road tour due to logistical reasons. The promoter added there were travel and equipment complications. Kiss will now kick off its European tour on June 5th in Birmingham, England.
We couldn't set shit on fire.
Pretty much. We couldn't get the permits to set shit on fire. Sorry, guys.
They only allow one a month, and Rammstein took it.
Fucking A. It's still too soon after the Blitzkrieg. We just can't fucking do this, okay?
Seriously.
All right, one-offs here. Anthrax singer Joey Belladonna will play 4 solo shows at in Hampton Beach, New Hampshire next month. The concerts, which are being billed as Joey Belladonna's Jukebox, will take place on 4 consecutive nights starting on June 8th.
That is cool.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's it for concert news. I haven't seen any shows. You seen any shows?
Nah, man.
All right, so you want to get into the charts?
Let's get into the charts.
All right, listen, so here's how it works. Billboard Top 200 doesn't typically cover heavy metal too much because we just don't sell that much shit. So we cover anything that resembles hard rock or heavy metal. Pretty much going to be your classic rock stuff and greatest hits. Let's just be honest here. With a couple surprises here and there. But because Dan and I also have this affinity for Taylor Swift, check out our 10-word review on Taylor Swift records from April. We keep track of how many albums she has on the charts. And the last time I heard, this is just fairly recently, that all 10 of her albums are in the top 200 this week. All 10. It was last week, but they may all be up there, and we're going to find out. On top of that, Dan also likes to know who the top 5 albums on the top 200 are, and Mr. Irrelevant number 200, no matter who they are, no matter what they are. With all of that said, Dan, are you ready for this?
Always.
Number 1 is One Thing at a Time by Morgan Wallen. We know that.
Yeah.
Number 2 is Midnights by Miss Taylor Swift. That's her first record in the top 200. Number 3 is the new album from Jonas Brothers called The Album.
They exist.
They still exist. And they're recording new music. Wow. Number 4 is Young Boy Never Broke Again. He has a new album out called Richest Op. That's at number 4. New album.
Okay.
And at number 5 is SZA, SOS. And now we start moving our way down. At number 8 is a surprise re-entry, Random Access Memories from Daft Punk. Number 8 re-entry. I have no reason as to why that is. Or maybe it's an anniversaries thing. I don't know. All right. At number 10 is Lover by Miss Taylor Swift, which is her second album in the top 200. Number 14 is Folklore by Miss Taylor Swift. That's her third in the top 20 of the top 200. Man, number 19 is Miss Taylor Swift with 1989. That's her fourth record. Number 22, Red, Taylor's version by Miss Taylor Swift. And 23 is Reputation by Miss Taylor Swift. That is her fifth and sixth in the top 30 of the top 200 so far.
Damn. All right.
Number 27 is Speak Now by Miss Taylor Swift. And then 28 is Evermore by Miss Taylor Swift. That's her seventh and eighth records in the top 200. All in the top 30. Rounding out the top 30 is at 30, Elton John's Diamonds. At number 32 is Fearless, Taylor's version. That's her ninth record in the top 200. We got Rumors by Fleetwood Mac at number 37. Greatest Hits by Queen at number 39. And we are moving along now. Creedence Clearwater Revival, 20 Greatest Hits at number 48. What's the other album from Taylor Swift that's missing?
Self-titled.
Oh, she has a self-titled one?
Shit. Yeah, it's a country one.
Oh, okay. So I highly doubt that. That might not be on the charts right now.
Yeah.
Because I did a quick scan. I don't think I saw that one. Mm-hmm. Bob Marley and the Wailers, Legend of the Best Of, is at number 65. Here we go. Moving along. Whew. Ugly. Journey's Greatest Hits is at number 84. Nirvana, self-titled Greatest Hits is at number 87. Tom Petty, The Heartbreakers, Greatest Hits, 92.
Okay.
Yep, we're still moving. We are moving.
Yep.
Nothing Greatest exciting. Hits by Guns N' Roses. Yeah. Greatest Hits by Guns N' Roses at number 104. Michael Jackson's Thriller is at number 106. The Essential Michael Jackson is at number 110. The Essential Michael Jackson just might as well be called anything that's not a Thriller. All-time Greatest Hits by Lynyrd Skynyrd is at 113. What was that?
I was going to say Thriller and other songs.
Pretty much. Thriller plus. Very Best of Nickelback at 123. Meteora by Linkin Park is at number 125. The Essential Foo Fighters at number 127. Oof. Bob Seger, the Silver Bullet Band at number 142. Metallica, 72 Seasons at number 145. Still on the charts. Not bad. 5 weeks, all things considered. Bon Jovi, Greatest Hits, The Ultimate Collection is at number 154. Greatest Hits of Fleetwood Mac at number 157. That one should be anything that's not Rumors. Re-entry for Eminem and the Eminem Show, if you're interested in that. Greatest Hits of the Eagles is at number 169. Back in Black, number 173, AC/DC. A re-entry here at number 176 is The Essential Billy Joel. Metallica's Black Album is at number 179. Beach Boys, Sound of Summer, number 184. Sublime, self-titles, at number 188. Linkin Park, Hyper Theory is a re-entry at number 191. Hot Rocks by the Rolling Stones at number 195. Beatles 1 is at number 196. And rounding out the top 200, Mr. Irrelevant is Lil Wayne, I Am Music.
Yeah, that seems pretty irrelevant.
I mean, it's only been on the charts for 5 weeks, it says. It peaked at number 25. Last week it was at number 52. Today is at number 200.
Okay. Well, go away.
Bye-bye. So, of course, Miss Taylor Swift has 9 in her albums in the top fucking 30 of the top 200. Just killing it. And heavy metal is not very relevant. On the charts.
No. I'm sure it's certainly relevant in other countries, to say the least.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah. Either way, whatever. It's kind of the same. We gotta find something else to pay attention to in the charts.
Yeah, we greatest hits we can keep track of. I mean, that covers it pretty much. Because yeah. if I wasn't talking about that, it'd be a very quiet 5 minutes.
Oh yeah. That's like a lot of cricket noises.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I know last week I had said that we were going to have a discussion this week, but due to some logistical things, we weren't prepared for it.
No, unfortunately.
So maybe next time, which means that this is going to be a short episode, which means everyone can go home early. You'll be paid for your services later.
Nice.
No, you won't. I ain't paying you shit.
Whatever.
I didn't mean you. I meant like the audience. I ain't paying them shit.
I was gonna say we're not even monetized anyway, so whatever.
Not any, like we still have $2.06 waiting us.
Woo!
Making all those pennies, man. All right.
All pennies.
But anyway, on that note, we must make our curtain call because Warrior likely needs food
to sleep
before his weekend excursion.
You know it.
And Wizard, he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. So until next time, I'm Dan Mack.
And I'm Chris Mack.
And we are The Slime.